Come back with me to 1996, which, judging by the demographic tonight, might not be too difficult. For those of you not in that demographic, that is before Facebook and before Google and before I had white hair. And that summer, I was sitting in my office in New York in Midtown, and one of my colleagues brought to me an article in the New York Times. It was about my Uncle Sherman, Sherman Billingsley. And again, if you're a certain age, you remember the store club, and my uncle owned that. But when I was handed the article, that's not what piqued my interest, because I'd gotten rather blasé because I'd heard about my uncle a lot. What piqued my interest is that I saw my dad's name. My dad was named Logan Billingsley, and he was Sherman's big brother. And he died 30 years before that. Now, my dad was not a celebrity. He was a highly respected developer in northern Westchester, very successful. And that's where my brothers and I grew up with my mother. My dad was 64 when I was born. That always gets a rise out of people. So does the next line, and I have a younger brother. My dad was a tall man, an aloof man, and he spent very little time, if any, with his sons. And I always wanted to be with him. He was a god. I admired him and I loved him. And I was crushed when he died when I was 16. So you can imagine my euphoria that day in my office, you know, to see my dad. And he was not a celebrity, and he's in the New York Times. Wow, you know. And I sat down, and I started reading, and halfway through, I stopped breathing. Because the Times said nothing about Westchester or real estate. The New York Times instead reported that my dad was once a notorious gangster. An infamous bootlegger, wanted in 10 states, frequently in jail, and when he was 21, he'd shot and killed a man in Oklahoma. Now, I was just you can understand how he reacted. I mean, I'm a pretty button-down guy, right? I mean, and people who look like me and talk like me, you know, we don't have relatives like this. So I didn't know what to do. I was in free fall because I'd never heard a whisper about this, either before or after my dad died. So like all sons in panic, I called up my mom, who was 84, and she was still a stickler for good manners. And I said, "Mom, did you see the article about Sherman?" And she said, "Yes," and it was all total lies from beginning to end. And I'll never forget her, and I could see that finger wagging over the phone. "Bobby, you know your father was a great man, and he could never do anything like that." Whoa. Where was I going to go from there? So it may sound crazy, but I decided that I was going to act like I believed my mom. Why? Well, it hurt. I mean, this man was my idol. I was going to be a respected man like him. It was crushing. Also, I was petrified. If the Times had come up with this shit in one day, what else was out there, huh? And also, too, I have a, you know, low threshold of embarrassment. You know, I'm a very waspy guy, and so my mother, I gave her a pass. You know, dutiful son, I'm not going to hurt my mom. I gave her a pass then. My dad, though, oh, that was a whole other story, because Mr. Civic Pillar was really, you know, Mr. Crook. So I felt sick to my stomach to sort of lose the man that I idealized. And also, I felt like a damn fool. Here, I'd emulated this guy who was supposed to be this way, and he was this, like this lower species. And I was really pissed off. And I just put him out of my life pretty successfully. And then about a dozen years after that, my mom dies, and I'm cleaning out her bedroom. You know what's coming, right? Yeah. I'm not going to tell you. So I'm cleaning out her bedroom, and it's behind her shoes is this black metal box, you know? And I go there, and I open it up, and there is this stack of newspaper clippings, front page stuff. From circa 1918, okay? And I start reading it, and the Seattle Times says, and I quote, "Logan Billingsley is the underworld boss of the Pacific Northwest." Followed by the Detroit Free Press, which described my dad as, quote, "the king of the Michigan bootleggers." And to complete the cross-country aspect of this, there's the Buffalo Standard, which says he's the most amazing bootlegger in America. So where did I go with this? I went back to my mom, and I sort of said, okay, this is the proof that, ha-ha, you really did lie back in 1996, and the New York Times didn't lie then. But what got me was that she'd held this secret for 50 years, all of my life. But yet she'd kept the proof of her lie. So I'll talk about my mother in the next story you give me. But what happens is that, curiously, I go back, and I read the articles again. And slowly, I'm thinking, my dad was pretty cool. Especially, you know, compared to me. My wife has said I have a navy blue heart and pretty conservative guy. And he was so bigger than life, you know, and to think this Oklahoma desperado was my dad. And you know, my dad, he sawed his way out of a prison cell in Seattle. He carried a pistol, you know, as casually as I carry a handkerchief. Oklahoma sheriffs chased him for 15 years. It could never catch him. And he'd been married 3 times before he'd been married to my mother. So my dad was a total stranger. An intriguing total stranger, but my dad was a total stranger. So time goes on. I turn 70. I know you don't believe that. And I mellow, as my daughter Kate would say. And I'm a grandfather, Charlie, you know, the man. And we talk a lot, and I'm making sure I tell him all about my past and my family history, even though I know so little about my dad. And I get sad. I think, you know, if I could just had a time machine, I could go back. But that's not going to happen, right? But what is going to happen is that I'm learning about my dad and I'm connecting to it that way. And I've been traveling to Oklahoma City, to Detroit, to Seattle, of course, to Des Moines, to Salt Lake City, and I've been to all the towns where he bootlegged. And I've been to all the places that were his drugstores, because that's how you sell, as some of you might demographic. No, that's how this booze was sold, illegal booze anyway. And I've been to all of the jails that he escaped from, the last count, five. And I'm writing a book about this. Yeah, yeah. And I've learned that a son, looking for his father's love and approval, is such a powerful thing, even when you're 73. Thank you.